Hello, oh my gosh, we're back. We're back. We're front. We're every which way. It's What's for Dinner, people. I am Flip Schultz, as usual, saying hello and welcome. Thank you for listening, whether you're listening right from the website, you downloaded it on iTunes, or you got it off Stitcher, whatever way you have reached here. Thank you for showing up. Today, I'm not going to even beat around the bush, given like the typical, hey, let's see what's going on in the world. I'm excited to get to my guest, because this is pretty intense. I'll be honest, I'm actually a little nervous interviewing you.
Really?
Is that weird?
Well, no, it got me a little weird that we said beat around the bush, because I don't know exactly what's happening here. I'm a little confused.
Well, I am going to bring in
a
naked woman.
Okay.
And there will be some bush.
Well, then,
and then with beating, I will leave it up to you.
Really? Yes. All right. Well, I'm game for that. Okay. That's good.
Then let's start. This is going to be an amazing show.
I love it.
Folks, my guest tonight, today, in the studio / living room, is an honest-to-God filmmaker. He is a man who has directed and written a couple of incredibly funny movies, two of which I am proud to say I was involved in. And I'll change the terminology. No more beating around the veg.
That's better. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Craig Gass is here. I'm sorry, Craig
what?
Moss is here.
What? Oh, shit. Wait, what?
Craig Moss, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Director Craig. My last guest was named Craig Gass.
Yes.
G-A-S-S.
Right. Yeah.
And I swear to God, I was just editing that podcast because it went up today. So
all right,
I'm
thanks
so
for
sorry.
Having me. I appreciate it.
That's how you fuck up a show from the beginning, everybody.
Now it smells.
Now
good.
It smells like Craig Moss, ladies and gentlemen, director Craig Moss.
Thank you, buddy. It was good to working with you. I must have left an impression. The fact that you didn't know my last name. No, it's good. It's fine. Don't worry. It's all good.
I know you're.
Don't worry.
I mean, but come on. How weird. I interviewed a guy who's a friend of mine named Craig Gass.
Right.
Two S's.
Sure.
Same Craig, and I just interviewed him, and I was just listening to it.
Hey, I got it, Flip Smith. I get it. I'm there with you. Don't worry about it.
But Flip Smith, that like the Fresh Prince of like Boca or something?
Exactly, that's you.
Yes. Cruising and relaxing outside of the shul.
Nice. You just made that
just
wrap
made
up.
That up, right.
Jesus Christ.
The Fresh Prince
good.
Of Boca.
Wow.
Craig Moss, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. First of all, thank you so much for doing this.
Sure.
I know you're incredibly busy.
No, but it's okay. I came out.
No, because you're putting the finishing touches on a film as we speak.
That's right. Something that you and I did together.
I'm very excited. Yes. I was. Thank you.
Yes. Also. And it's of course. So we're very excited. And Flip Peruge does an amazing job.
Oh.
You are.
Well, I'll be honest. I'm like I am so hard on myself when it comes to things outside of stand up, and even in stand up, I'm still pretty like harsh on myself. But as an actor. It's so, for me, it's just such a, still so new to see me, like,
on screen
and everything, that when I, like, when we were doing some of the ADR stuff, I was kind of looking, going, oh, is that really good?
You get that little insecure.
Yeah, that little insecure. I think
But you know what? All great, tremendous actors get that. You know what I mean? It's just they.
I don't know why you're kissing my ass.
No.
I could do nothing for you in the business.
In all honesty, though, everybody sort of has that. I mean, I think for the most part. I mean, once they see themselves, they're extremely critical, hypercritical. So you're
well,
not
well, you now you've worked. I'm going to kind of go out of order here, as opposed to chronological. You've worked with some really like high end actors, like you did Badass, with Danny Trejo, and. Was it Brian? Not Brian.
It was
Dennehy,
close. I would love to work with Brian Dennehy. He and Tom Berenger. I worked with a gentleman by the name of Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman.
And then Charles Dutton.
Charles Dutton.
And then we had a gentleman named Patrick Fabian who was in The Last Exorcism. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but he's great in that. So and then Joyful Drake, who was in a bunch of films, who's on a TV show, one of Tyler Perry's TV shows on. BET,
TBS
but
or
TBS or BET, one of those. One of those channels that I don't. But
and did you find they had that same kind of insecurity and everything? Like, in your experience, do actors grow out of that, or is it still something that's very inherent? Forever.
I think Danny, not so much. I think Danny's been in so many movies. I think he's done like 825 films. So I think at this point, he knows what he looks like. He knows how he acts, and he knows how incredibly well hung he is. So. At the end of the day, he's totally comfortable with that. But I think really everybody else that I've worked with in my limited amount of time in this business, they've seemed to be a bit insecure about it. So you're not alone.
So I'm not in a...
By the way, your wife is coming out of the bathroom completely naked after a shower. So well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Yes. You're very welcome. Yeah. That's part of the...
Look at that. And then your cat just came out. What was your wife doing with the cat in the bathroom?
Could you please put Bernie back in the room? It's okay. It's all right.
I like the setup, though, because I don't know if you've described it to your audience.
Yeah, no.
Because it's great, because it's in your living room.
It is my living room.
But it's not just a living room, because there's a lot of tchotchkes. And I can say tchotchkes.
You can say tchotchkes.
Because I am Jewish. And,
Are you Jewish?
Yeah, I am.
Really?
Yes.
How did I never know that?
You did not know that.
I might have assumed, but I never asked. I don't
really
know. Moss isn't a very Jewish... Is that your real name, or is it like Moss?
It comes from... No. It comes from Mossovetsky.
Seriously?
Was the initial, yeah. Which I actually just found, like anybody cares, but I went on that...
Ancestry.com?
Yes.
Really?
And I found the naturalization papers for my grandfather when he came in from Russia through Philadelphia. And so it lists the actual real last name. It was spelled Mossovetsky, but I guess in Russia it would be Mossovetsky. It was printed out, and then he signed it Mossovich. So he's like switching his name. He switched his name like four times. So my last name could be Williams for all I know. I really have no idea, but it's all good.
You son of Moskovich.
But that's right. So Moss, yes, I am Jewish. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you. I was bar mitzvahed in 82.
82.
Yeah, 82. Thank you.
Wait a minute. That means...
Yeah.
Oh, you're not that much older than me.
No.
Because I was bar mitzvahed in 87.
Look at that. Wow.
Two Jewish
Hebrews. 87 is when I graduated high school. So you're like 4 years younger than
I am. 4 years. Oh.
Yeah.
So now I know how old you are.
I'm much older. Yeah.
You're not much older. I'm
43.
You've done a lot for a guy your age. So let's start now.
I don't know. Okay, sure.
No, because you're for being right. You're really not that old.
Thank you. I mean, honestly, you're not that old, but this film you're working on now, this is your fourth feature? This is my fourth, yes.
Your fourth feature?
Fourth film.
That's fantastic.
But in a very sort of compact amount of time. Like, the fourth film that we've made since 2009. Before that, I was sort of strictly a writer and sold stuff to studios and production companies and that sort of thing.
Okay, well, let's start from the beginning now. If I remember correctly, told me you... went to college at UCLA?
Yes, Bruins.
Bruins.
Yes.
Bruins.
That's right. Any Bruin fans in the house? Anyone?
Anyone?
Huh?
The Cats?
Well, they like it.
They love Bruins.
They love that.
They're in their
That's right.
meowing about the Bruins.
Yeah.
Did you go to UCLA specifically for filmmaking?
You know what? No. I mean, I did want to go into the program. The thing about UCLA is you have to apply your junior year. By the time I got to my junior year, I was involved in the fraternity, and I was on academic probation the first quarter. I was just a complete fuck up. But
really?
But I got my shit together. But by the time it was my junior year, my grades weren't good enough to apply to the film program. So it wasn't going to happen at UCLA. So yeah, that did. So I became a sociology major, which... it's great, right? At the end of the day, it's like, you know, it applies to life.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the study of people and their surroundings.
Well, I would assume that does lend itself to filmmaking.
It
as
does.
Far as understanding characters.
Exactly.
And
you're
like
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. People don't understand that, but Flip, you are fucking smart.
The fact that you get that, I mean, seriously, people don't. No,
so it does. It actually does. So, I mean, you know, in a weird sort of way. But the only reason why I became that major was because I befriended this 80-year-old professor named Dr. Levine, who was amazing. He was a Jew, and I barely went to class, and he was nice enough to give me decent grades. So I would take one test, basically. And so I ended up, I'm like, I have all these social classes. How am I going to graduate in 4 years so I can do what I want to do? And became a sociology major, and damn it, I'm proud.
Well, as well, you should.
I'm proud of that. Thank you.
Now, aside from doing filmmaking, have you ever used your sociology degree in any other facet?
Just feeling up women. I mean, that's how I use it. Yeah.
I have a sociology degree, and they're like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah,
well,
they get really excited.
Nothing
about
turns
that.
Women on, but
they love.
Not
them.
Sure if you could tell, she's already looking quite nippy.
I can see how excited you are there. How do you think I got my wife? I mean, so it worked out.
Yeah. But I want to get to that later
because you landed way out of
your league.
I know, didn't I? Jesus Christ.
You really did.
Well, if you become a director, Flip, I mean, you already did amazing, so it's like you don't have to worry about it. But I'm just saying, anyone else out there?
Well, no,
like,
I'll trade up eventually.
What? What?
Huh? Both of us will. It's okay.
Hey.
Wow.
Oh.
Right back at you.
Okay, so
it's just like a three-way. I'm getting it from both ends.
Absolutely, we're sandwiching you.
Wow, this is amazing.
This is
and you're on that Lazy Boy, which is amazing. Does that extend at the bottom?
Yes. Oh, both feet go up.
Nice.
Head goes back. Oh wait, wow. Something's blocking me. Head goes back.
That's just flip.
That's my head. That's my head going back, blocking you. Sorry.
Right. It extends.
Oh, I see. It's the amp back
it's
there.
It's the amp. Okay.
Whatever you want to call it. So it's good.
Okay.
Yes.
So you So what was your first film that you if you go on IMDb, people, which I have done extensively doing research.
Right.
You did a film called Shaving Ryan's Privates.
No, flip. That is.
Or I'm trying to shave. Saving Ryan's Private.
Shaving is the porn.
It's the porn name. You're right.
Never dabbled in porn.
Really?
No, I haven't. I know.
Any desire to?
Sure. Why not?
Good.
Mine is Saving Ryan's Privates, which was the first sort of 35mm short film. I'd done some shorts before. I did a short for my bar mitzvah, because I'm Jewish, Flip. I don't know if you know that, but I'm Jewish.
Are you Jewish?
Yeah.
Do you know the Motzkevitzes out of Russia?
I don't. Do they come in through Philadelphia? I'm just
they
curious.
Might. Yes,
okay.
They did.
So then I
big
would.
Eagles fans.
Then they are. Okay. I did a. I got a like an 8mm camera, so I did something my bar mitzvah, like when I was 13, and then in the age of video cameras, actually in 87.
Mm-hmm.
In senior year in high school, I got a video camera. I bought one, and it was a JVC, and I just started shooting stuff and editing the stuff together. And then...
Would you use, like, Avid back then?
Yes, yeah.
Did you really?
No, they didn't have Avid. They had these little home kits that you would have to... It was ridiculous. You would basically... It took so much time just to cut one scene. It probably took a full day. It was the longest process, most laborious process.
Was it that like that little machine that had the dials?
Kind
like
of, yeah. But it was the home version of that, so it was even worse than that.
Really?
But it was great just to learn, sort of get the editor's eye and figure out how to cut scenes together and make things work. And it was a great tool.
And so you kind of always had a knack, I guess, for seeing how something could kind of fit or flow.
I guess I didn't really think. You don't think, oh, I've got a knack for do it. You just sort of do it, and then it just sort of happens. And then as you put it together, you say, oh, well, if I would have maybe cut that a little sooner, or if I would have extended that, or if I would have... You start to learn through the process. So it was more about learning through doing it as opposed to being in class and sort of being taught how to do it, I guess. I don't, you know. But,
no, I see.
So I did that, and then... junior year summer... This is probably boring, though, but I mean... Ellie's like sleeping. What? Summer of junior year in college, I went to USC for like a summer program and shot some stuff there, like a series of like short videos. And then they had they upgraded as far as like their editing machines and stuff. It wasn't the stuff they have today. Back then, when you cut on film, you had to cut on something called a flatbed, which was, or a moviola. Those are the two versions. And
by the way, anybody listening who's into film is finding this fascinating.
Yeah, everyone else is. Just
everyone is just
out,
like,
yeah.
Can we talk about the porn again?
Yeah, the three other people, they're just like, you know.
The three other people? Yes, all five of my listeners, exactly. Two of which are filmmakers.
But it's fine.
No, I'm sorry. Continue.
We're here for them. But in the old days, it was these flatbeds, and you would cut on that. And so I did a short. Once I graduated college, I was excited just to start making movies. And I cut this. I wrote a short with a buddy of mine called Pool Guy. And it was sort of a takeoff on the, it was really bad. It was a takeoff of those cop buddy, like Lethal Weapon and stuff. And it wasn't,
okay.
It was kind of, it wasn't really a parody. I don't know what it was, but it was these guys who were partners, but they clean pools as opposed to fighting crime.
Crime.
Yeah. I think Colors had just come out too. Remember that movie Colors?
Yeah. Where,
and so I was sort of poking fun at those films. But I shot on 16mm, and then we cut on... We had no idea what we were doing, and we were cutting on these huge flatbeds that we put in my buddy's garage, and it was like a 25-minute film, which is way too long for a short
film.
You don't want... Because that's not a short film. That's called an almost long film, is what it is, and you don't want to do that, because people...
Were you doing it for fun? Were you going to enter it?
Yeah, it was used to get other work, basically.
Okay.
And then also, like, entered into film festivals and all that... bullcrap.
And did it make some noise?
No, not at all. But but we screened it for a bunch of people, and it was. And then after screening, I'm like, why did I invite everyone to see this? Because it was just. I thought it was my big moment. This is the big film that I was, you know.
I think everybody early in their career, whatever the career might be, gets very excited about like their first kind of stuff.
Exactly. I thought that was it. And then, and it was not to happen. But soon thereafter, I learned my mistakes from that. I did another short film that was only like 7 minutes long called Ordinary Guy. And it was just a quick little short that did well. It went to some film festivals and won some awards. And it was nice. And I was close to getting work from that, and then didn't happen though. But but then I became and then started writing, and because a buddy of mine who was in the business said, if you're gonna direct, you got to learn how to write so you control your own content, so you're not at the mercy of other people's material.
Right.
Yeah. You can have your own stuff, which makes sense, right?
Absolutely.
Totally.
So I learned how to write, and which I'm still learning, and so I wrote a script with a buddy of mine, and then got representation, and then. And then soon thereafter, another buddy of mine came to me with an idea to parody Saving Private Ryan. And so two guys, actually, Brent Goldberg and David Wagner, who ended up doing a movie called Girl Next Door.
Yeah.
And they did a movie called Van Wilder with Ryan Reynolds. So they came up with the idea and wrote it, and then I directed it, and it became this. And this was back in the day. This is before, like, you had the viral videos and all that. This is in... I think it came out in 98.
Oh, wow.
Fall of 98.
So that's almost like what happened with the South Park guys.
Yeah, it was, it just happened after South Park. So people were comparing it to that sort of.
Oh, wow.
I don't think it was as big, but in the business, people, I remember Columbia Pictures, like the guys in the mail were making copies and sending it out through the studio, and it was sort of, it was in the trades, and it was sort of a big deal. And so I got representation through that. With an
That's
agent.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. And then I sold a script that to Columbia Pictures with a producer named Neil Moritz, who does every freaking movie.
I know Neil.
Yeah, and so you dated Neil for a
little bit. I was Neil.
He skytrammed Neil.
Oh, you did skytram.
I did skytram.
That's why I recognize you.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
You wrote that.
He's that guy.
I knew that was you. So I did it. I did this film. We sold this film to him, and I was attached to direct, and then it. In the business, it went into turnaround, which means they're not going to make it. And fuck you, is what they say. And then so I got it back. I sold it again to Warner Brothers, with the production company at Warner Brothers. And then this producer went out of business. And then from there, I just started writing scripts and selling them and selling pitches. You go into these rooms and you sell these executives on your ideas. And then that became my career, forgetting about directing. And then the writer's strike happened in 2008, and it was like, oh, shit, what am I going to do? Because everything stopped. Mm-hmm. Like, right. The whole business halted. And I had a film at Fox that was supposed to go, and nothing ever happened. So I'm like, I gotta get back to directing. And so then that's what led me to 41.
To 41.
Yeah.
Yes, for those who I'm sure are familiar with the movie, but might not be able to attach Craig's name to it, Craig directed an incredibly funny spoof movie, spoofing pretty much the Judd Apatow universe. And it was a great mashup, one of the best mashup titles I've heard.
You might get it wrong. I mean, considering you got my last name wrong, I'm not even going to let you.
I called him Craig Gass, accidentally.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah. How?
But I just didn't. Well, I'm not going to.
You're just two letters off.
He
so.
Was close. Yeah.
But it was the 41-year-old virgin who knocked up Sarah Marshall and felt super bad about it.
Nice.
Am I right?
You're absolutely right, because a lot of people say the 41-year-old virgin that knocked up, which is wrong. It's who
knocked up.
Thank you.
Yes.
Isn't there no the, though? Isn't it just 41-year-old?
You're right. And you're absolutely right about that. God,
no,
you did your research. Initially, it was the, and then they decided to take the out.
Yeah, that's new.
It's kind of like Facebook. Initially, it was the Facebook, and
right?
Then the Justin Timberlake character said, "Forget
take out
it."
Right?
Yeah.
Let's take out the.
Is
let's
that what happened to Justin Timberlake?
Did you see that social network movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you gonna spoof that?
That's next.
You should do it about MySpace. It's an hour and a half of Tom with a gun to his head going, it could have been me.
It's called the anti-social network.
It's called the we don't go there anymore.
That's yeah.
Is that sad?
No. No.
No, I remember when I first heard about 41, because our mutual friend that actually became the serendipitous one to introduce us, Stephen Kramer Glickman.
The great
Stephen Kramer
Glickman. All-powerful.
Incredibly handsome.
All-powerful Glickman.
Yes.
I remember I was at the Melrose Improv, and he comes up and goes, dude,
I just got cast in this Judd Apatow spoof movie playing Seth Rogen. And I was like, I could see. And he showed me a picture of him with the curly wig on.
Right.
And then he did the impression. I'm like, that's fucking great,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he was good.
And so I remember when I first saw the video in the stores, I think it was at Target. I saw it. And Brian Callen, who's a very funny comedian and a friend of mine, was in it too. And I remember looking at this cover going, this looks really fucking funny. And
then you saw it and you said, this is a piece of fucking
shit. No, you know what? Because you gave me a copy after the fact.
Really
after,
funny.
I see you.
It was, no, it was very... I was going to get to that. You gave me a copy after the fact when I did Breaking Winds.
Right.
And I think we watched it after I got it, like the next night or something. And it was a very funny spoof movie, you know? It was what it was. It was silly. It was funny. It was raunchy. But it was everything that I think a really good spoof movie is. You know, not taking itself too seriously and really hitting the mark on what you're spoofing.
Well, thanks, buddy. Yeah. I appreciate that.
It was like interesting because I remember thinking, like, how is he going to like take every movie that's mentioned within that and kind of put it together in like a fluid story? And it really worked. It was a really interesting take on it.
I appreciate it. And it's tough. I mean, you generally don't want to parody comedies. And I mean, the way that came about was... if anyone's still awake.
is this thing on?
No, people want to listen and go, is it going to get worse?
Right.
Is it going to get worse? It's like a train wreck.
Talking about himself and everything that happened for him.
This is what it's about. This is your
is this about,
segment.
This is about me?
Oh,
this
it's all about you.
Seriously?
This is all about you.
Well, let's start back 1971. Because when I was two, what?
Is that mute? Oh, I can't hear you.
What? What happened? And that was it. And then here I am.
And then here you are.
Yeah, so
71 to 2012. Just not that much. No, I'm here. Life didn't start till this podcast.
That's right.
No, so you said the idea came about for 41.
Yes. It was weird because a buddy of mine, Brad Kaya, who I had done some other stuff with, and he wrote a movie called O. I don't know if you heard of that movie.
Was that
the
Othello?
One about Othello? Oh, you beat me to it. You beat me to
God,
it.
God, you guys are good. Yeah. Brad wrote O.
That was with
Lawrence Fishburne.
And
Martin,
the blonde chick.
I think...
Martin, the one that spits?
Martin Sheen.
No, never mind.
Martin Sheen.
Right, you remember him from...
yeah, he would play great Othello.
That's right. Yeah. No, it was... what's
Martin Landau?
No, it was...
That's the one who spits.
I don't know the cast. To be honest with you, I have no idea. But it was... Anyway, he wrote this movie. It was actually a really... Josh Hartnett was in it.
Ah, okay.
Josh Hartnett was in it. Remember? Yes.
Yeah.
Huh, I didn't know he was in that.
Yeah.
And Julia Stiles, that's who I was thinking of.
Julia Stiles, I remember that name in a second.
Yes, Julia Stiles, yes.
Also in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Why did I just blink? What's Charlie Sheen's dad's name?
Martin Sheen.
I was right, Martin Sheen was in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Was he?
I don't know. He played the coach of the basketball team.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, I never saw it, so.
So he wrote,
Everyone should really rent it.
Is it good?
Yeah. It is good.
One of the best vowel movies ever made.
That's right.
Better than Why?
That's right. A little
sometimes.
Bit. A little
sometimes
bit.
Why?
Yes.
So he wrote O.
So he wrote O, and then, let me adjust this. He wrote O, and then, so we did some stuff together, and we sold something to Fox, a pilot. So Brad's a good friend of mine and a good writer. And so we went on a pitch. We're trying to pitch some other comedies, and they said, look, this is right after the strike. They're like, look, all the executives said, we're going to be honest with you. Unless you're Judd Apatow, there's no way in hell we're going to be buying comedies. So I kind of thought about it. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Now, Judd Apatow now is sort of an industry. And it's like
it became
a genre, in a sense.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's like, we thought about it. It's like, we need to just parody that. As much as it's kind of silly to parody a comedy, it's like he just becoming this brand that we need to sort of go at.
It seems like like you said, it's not a comedy. It's a genre in and of itself.
Exactly.
It's a bromance kind of
exactly.
You know,
and those characters that he uses for every movie. I mean, you know, it's for the most part the same cast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Seth Rogen's in everything. Paul Rudd's in it, and Dusty Mann. Yeah, so we sort of wanted to, and the title came about. So we thought.
Did you come up with the title before you came up with the story?
Yes.
Yes. Awesome.
No, because that seems to, like, I know as a comedian, sometimes I'll come up with a punchline and work my way back to how to get there.
Yeah.
So it almost seems like it's a, It's that process too, coming up with a great title and going, okay, how can we make this work?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's like the chorus of a song, and then I'll work backwards. You always think of like the funniest,
yeah,
how we can, you know, make the groundwork.
Well,
it
works too, because then you kind of know where you're pulling from, what movies, and you know, from
and
all
so
those
what,
titles.
Now, when you, I guess when you pitched that, what was the reaction you initially got?
Basically, well, there's no way in hell we're going to do a parody of Judd Apatow. I mean, literally, I mean, people from studios are like, it sounds funny, but we can't do, you know, can't do that to Judd Apatow, basically. Now,
really?
Either that was their way of saying we fucking hate it, and, you know, that was their way of trying to mask that, or they were, you know, scared of, a lot of people have that reaction when you do parodies, or like scared to offend people, and,
mm-hmm.
But comedy should be dangerous.
I know. As long as you're making fun of everyone, it's sort of equal opportunity offending.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. One.
Well, I think the overall consensus as far as any person or topic or anything that becomes famous is ripe for fodder.
Right.
And it's part of the price you pay when you become something in the public eye.
Yeah.
So I think it's also the highest form of flattery. If you want to parody somebody else's
absolutely.
Stuff,
absolutely.
You're like, hey, I respect you enough to want to make fun of you.
That's
absolutely.
And Judd Apatow is incredibly talented, very funny. His movies are very freaking funny.
So do you know if you ever saw it?
I don't know.
Did you ever get any kind of feedback from him personally?
No, I did not. And it was sort of the same with Saving Ryan's Privates. People at DreamWorks loved it, but Spielberg apparently was not happy.
Really?
From what I heard, yeah.
Well, that's Spielberg.
But,
it's like...
honestly, what he's really nobody.
He's irrelevant. he's irrelevant.
Who is that guy?
Times past.
He's a blink.
It's right.
You know,
he made
a little noise in the 80s. That was about it.
Yeah, so it doesn't really matter. Yes. But
if he's listening, by the way, I'm a big fan.
I'm sure he is, actually.
Yes.
I
get comments from
like
Spielberg all the time.
That's right. I spoke to him, and he loves your show. He's
a huge
fan.
It seems like
we're
he
talking
takes
about
himself.
Herbie Spielberg, right?
Yes.
Herbie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love Herbie. Great deli.
His second cousin.
Great deli maker.
Yes.
I was going to say, maybe if he didn't like it, he seems like he could be the kind of guy to take himself very seriously. Whereas, like, you know, some of the comedy.
I don't know. I've heard Spielberg has a good sense. Like,
yeah.
I know he. I mean, this is a far cry from a complete spoof of that, but I know when Weird Al did his music video for Jurassic Park, parodied MacArthur Park, it was all claymation. He got permission not only from Spielberg to use images from the movie for it, he got permission to actually make a clay version of Spielberg for the video. So
really,
yeah,
yeah. I didn't ask for permission, and I think just for the content, I think you know.
What was it? I assume
it was, you know, I'm sure. And that was the thing with that film. It wasn't so much about parroting World War II and the job that the soldiers did for our country and for the world.
Mm.
It was more about just parroting the film.
The film.
You know what I mean? It wasn't, you know, but anyway. But Judd Apatow, no, he didn't. There was no comment, but it's fine. But
the movie did well enough to kind of keep you in the business as far as allowing you to do more films.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, exactly. So we... there was, and then from there we did Badass, which was the same producer, Ash Shah, who's very...
Oh, yeah, I met him.
Did you meet him?
Yeah. Very nice guy.
Yeah, and Ben Feingold was the other producer, and Ash came up with an idea to... he saw this epic beard man thing on did you see it, Allie? On YouTube?
I didn't.
It was a...
I actually still haven't seen that.
You haven't seen it? You should see it. It's a lot, I'm sure... The five people have seen it, or at least two of them have. But
this is your Danny Trejo.
Yes,
lead?
It's the action film. It was based on this YouTube thing. If no one's seen it, you can go on and look it up on YouTube. And it's a story about this older guy, late 60s, early 70s, huge gray beard, kind of looks like Santa Claus. Was on a bus up in Oakland, and some African-American guy, they got into an altercation, kind of started by Epic Beard Man, to be honest with you. But the younger guy kind of wouldn't let up and threw punches at Epic Beard Man. And Epic Beard Man just unleashed on this guy and just knocked him out. And this guy was on the bus completely bloodied. And somebody had pulled out their phone and shot the entire thing. and they posted it on YouTube, and it became this sort of, you know, overnight sensation, and people around the world were like so impressed with this older guy sticking up for himself and beating the crap out of this younger guy, and he was like this instant sort of underground celebrity.
Wow.
And he got like in the first day like a million hits or
wow.
It was ridiculous.
We gotta check that out when
you should see
seriously.
It.
What would it be tagged under?
Epic Beard Man.
Epic
Beard Man. So
I love it.
So we went up. So Ash said, "You got to check this out. Look at this clip." I watched it. He goes, "We should do something. I mean, there's something here." So we got the rights. We went up and met with his name's Tom Brusso, Epic Beard Man.
Oh wow.
Met with him up in Oakland. And got the rights. Went out to breakfast with the judge. He's like the nicest guy. He's just mentally a bit unstable. He's gone through a lot, you know. And he's just a super generous, sweet guy who would give the shirt off his back to anyone.
Was he? Because if I'm not mistaken, in Badass, Trejo plays him as a like a Vietnam vet or something.
Yeah, he and I don't have confirmation, but claims to be a Vietnam vet. I don't know what the real story is, but regardless of that, he's a nice guy, and you know, initially we were going to have him play himself. But he was, you know, he's just at a point in his life where I don't think he'd be able to handle doing something. We're going to do it sort of documentary style sort of movie with him, and it wasn't going to work out. So we kind of revamped it, and Danny had just done how Danny likes to call it, Machete. And he had just done that, and it was a huge success, especially on DVD. So we thought it'd be perfect for him, and sent the script to him, and they liked it, and so it just sort of kind of evolved that way.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Had you met Danny before that?
No, that was the first time.
Wow.
And then Danny, you got him to appear in your next film as well.
Yeah.
Which was your third spoof.
Yeah.
Your second feature spoof, your third spoof.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah, Breaking Wind, which you were in Flip, which you played Charlie, the father of Bella, which you did a fantastic
quite
performance.
Quite the sexy swan he was.
Wasn't he?
Oh, yes.
Oh, thank you. That was interesting for me, too, because that was like this little whirlwind thing that happened.
It was weird how it all came about, and I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I ever heard your side of how I got involved.
Yeah,
in that.
I was just stalking you. I saw you, and I wanted you, and I knew for months, and I thought, no, it was weird because we had a tight sort of window to shoot this movie.
And this Breaking Wind, for those who don't know, is a spoof of Twilight, specifically Twilight Eclipse, I think, right?
It was.
The Eclipse film?
It was Eclipse, correct, with a little bit of Breaking Dawn that we used from the trailer because mm-hmm. we couldn't see the film, so we kind of threw that in there.
Right.
But we were casting for this film, and we were, you know, one thing that I really like with the parodies and stuff that I've seen in the past, and what I really believe in, is making sure that your characters look like the characters that you're parodying from the other film.
Oh, absolutely. And so much so in this one.
Exactly. It's a huge component to the comedy, and it's a big deal. So we were scrambling just to find people, and we did really well,
absolutely.
We filled a lot of the roles, and so we couldn't fill Charlie. I mean, you know, we just couldn't find the look, and kind of had the look, but then the performance wasn't there, and there was just a lot of issues. So, because you got to have the look, and then you got to be able to act, and you have to be funny. I mean, it's sort of that. So,
trifecta.
Exactly. And you have to be well hung, and a lot of people don't have that. You know what I mean? And
well,
so,
thank God I got three
then
out of the four.
Right. So,
not a great actor.
Yeah. But,
nice.
But like a fucking bear.
Girth.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's what I call it. Girth, did you say hi?
There he is.
Sadite.
Yeah.
Sadite.
Is that the cat?
All right.
That's just his Mondo Bush.
You don't.
Which
trim.
Is the super sized
just like
president.
Our cat. No,
that's
kidding.
It's a good shade. So we were trying to figure it out. We couldn't find. And then Stephen Glickman, the great Stephen Glickman.
Great Stephen Glickman.
Stephen Kramer Glickman.
Kramer Glickman.
Which he's actually my wife's cousin. That's how I first met him.
Really?
Yeah,
what?
So
I didn't know
that. Yeah. Steven, yeah. Yeah, no, it's crazy. So, Steven, what?
What?
So,
I had no idea about that.
Yeah, that's so neat.
Yes.
Is that how y'all met? Well,
yeah.
I would assume.
That's
yeah.
how I that, met That's how I
that's
met Steven.
How Steven.
Yeah, I met Steven, yeah. It's all part of the family. So,
Steven.
This is a great pillow, by the way. It's really mushy and soft.
Thank you. It's made from Mondo Bush, actually.
Oh, that's
yes.
Nice. That's perfect.
Made from my own bush.
So, Steven says, I got this guy, Flip, and he showed me a picture of you, but it was without the mustache. The glasses. I'm like, well, this guy doesn't.
Oh yeah,
he
yeah.
looks nothing. And then you were It's the bottom down completely nude. But I'm like, this guy looks nothing, nothing like him. He's like, trust me, just let me bring him, you know, bring him out. And I guess he called you.
He called me and he goes like, first thing he goes, hey, Flip, are you in town? Yeah. Do you still have your mustache? Yeah.
Right. It's a deciding factor.
And he told me like...
Like you keep it in a drawer.
Like, funny you should ask. Right. I was cleaning it right now.
Nice.
Yeah, and then he says to me, he goes, remember that guy did the Judd Apatow thing?
Right.
Doing a spoof of Twilight. We're looking for a guy that looks like the father. Can you come and read? And I remember I was leaving town the next day to go to Florida.
Right. Yeah.
And he said, well, just come and read. Just come and read. So I went down. I remember I first met you crossing the street back from Starbucks.
Yep. Yeah, and it was love at first sight.
And your first words were, holy shit, he does look like him.
That's right. Well, because I didn't think you did. And so
I didn't even know that
you
I didn't
know that. You didn't even know who the character was.
I didn't even know who the guy. I never watched Twilight.
Did you ever see Twilight? You didn't
know. No, that's the thing. You call me in and you go, have you ever seen the movie? I'm like, no.
Right.
So I'm a guy.
But yeah, he's a perfect
spoof. Did you
spoof.
See the movie before?
Oh, he's a perfect spoof. Swan.
Yeah, he is.
Swan spoof.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So no, but you're right. Yeah, with no mustache, you don't have it at all.
The glasses, it was like, wait, what? But then, yeah, when you came out, I'm like, there you go. And then you came in and you read. You were great. And then...
My reading, looking back on it, was pretty shitty because
well,
I'd never...
it wasn't shitty. You were nervous and it was a little shaky. But then I just said to Steve, if I can call him Steven.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I said, is he... I can tell he's got talent, but is he... get nervous a lot. Like, is that going to happen when we shoot? He's like, no, absolutely not. He's just, you know, I think because...
It was last minute,
you felt probably rushed. I don't know what it was, and I'm extremely intimidating. I think that played a part. It played a part in it, but yeah. And then
you had your balls out during the audition.
Yeah, but that's just a part of what I do.
Oh, I know that now.
Yeah, it's very...
But at the time, it was a new thing.
That's very much it was a part very surprising. That's how we do it in Hollywood.
Yes.
Very... Coco, so what happens is so then at that point we called you. I remember you were out the door.
Yeah, right? Like literally a minute later I get that call.
Yeah.
And then I actually, because I was leaving to Florida the next day, and I think I flew back like 2 days later just to do those 2 days of shooting. And it was funny because I remember talking to Alice and going, you know, because it was low budget, so.
What?
It was.
Really?
My part of it was.
Right. Okay.
Like something I don't know.
No, you're right. Low budget. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember telling her like it doesn't matter. To me it's the you never know.
Right.
Is always the attitude. You never know.
You're right.
And it's a film.
Right.
You know.
But didn't you check up on it? Didn't you see a clip of a 41 year old? Like you wanted to make sure that it wasn't some like garage shoot or something. Like you told me that you looked up the film. You saw something on YouTube 40. I don't know. You told me that, but maybe you were lying.
No, it's the first time I saw 41, or at least the movie in its entirety.
You saw something because you were a bit suspect of, were you not? Or my?
I think you're thinking
You told me.
Is it me you're thinking of?
Yeah, it was you.
Was it?
No, it was Craig Gass.
It was Craig.
Nice.
Totally forgot.
Nice.
Totally forgot.
That's
totally.
Why you're a professional.
Right.
But that, and I remember when we were doing the shoot, it was so cool because I'd only done one other film before that. And that was like 10 years ago. It was a film called Big Trouble.
Oh, yeah.
So I hadn't really been on like a real set for, you know, for so many years. And I remember and I wasn't sure what kind of production. I knew it had to be something more, you know, more than like a student film or something.
Right.
But we get there and it's like all this great high-end equipment and all these PAs running around. You had a, you know, a DP and you had an AD, a first AD, a second AD. You had makeup trailers and everything. And we just shot on location at that house for those couple of days. But I remember just feeling this surge of energy. It was so exciting. And this is when I kind of had this feeling that you and I'd be working together again, is when I was sitting, it was between takes, I was sitting out on that patio area by the pool in the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
And you came up to me and we start talking and you go, you know, you really can act. Like a lot of comedians are funny but don't know how to act, but you really can act.
Yeah. I like to do that with the comedians in the beginning just to make them feel good. But I don't
Then it gets
really,
a better performance.
Yeah, you got to pump them up a little.
Yeah.
And then at the end you say it was awful.
It was awful.
Yeah.
No. But in all honesty, it's a lot of stand-ups, you know, a lot can, but there's some that you come in contact with that just can't. They're funny on stage, but then it doesn't translate
to
when you're shooting something. But you've natural ability and great instincts, very funny and great physical comedy and your timing's great. So I mean it was nice. It's great because the casting is the biggest part. It's like 90% of the movie.
Yeah.
And if you can nail that, then just makes it so much easier. You know?
Well, that A Breaking Wind, like, you really, I think everybody that you cast as far as like the lead players just nailed them.
Yeah, they were
like,
great.
The, as far as look, as spoofing the performance, as far as their own performance. Like the guy that played, I don't remember the character's name, but the
father, the Cullen father. Of the
Cullen. Yeah.
Oh, he looked just like him.
Looked just like him, spoofed the performance, and was so fucking funny.
Everybody spoofed it great. And Peter Gilroy as Jasper.
Oh, God.
Is he great?
That was one of the funny.
Oh, my God. He was also another The 11th Hour, which Stephen Kramer Glickman pulled out of his ass.
Really?
To get, I mean, Glickman's great.
Yeah, you owe a lot to Glickman. Oh, God, holy shit.
Well, tremendous amount.
His 11th hour castings
are...
That's
right, he was amazing. But Peter was phenomenal. Yeah, I mean, everybody was great in that film. I mean, they're really, really good. I was very happy with all the performances. Everyone was very, very funny.
And
I especially like the old man who wanted to go antiquing with Flip. Right. He was great.
He was a 41-year-old. He was the guy who was having sex with an elderly woman on a lawn.
I remember that. Yeah. You just saw his ass, right?
Yeah.
Pumping away.
And he was great. Frank's his name. Frank
great
Merritt.
Ass.
He was a great pumper.
Ass.
Frank Merritt. The guy, Frank was great because he doesn't care. He commits to comedy.
Nice.
He'll pull it down and show his... He'll do anything.
Whereas I had a little bit of issue with that on the second film we did.
You did it.
I did it.
But you went for it.
I did it.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, just to talk about Breaking Wind for one more second.
Yeah.
I also, it's interesting now, I'm not sure if I told you this, I think it was during the, right after we shot, finished wrap on the second film, I went to El Paso, and I was working at the El Paso comic strip for a week, and now, you know, of course, I'm using Breaking Wind in my credits, you've seen me in this, and after the show, this kind of big kind of Mexican guy's walking by, he looks at me and goes, "By the way, man, I just watched Breaking Wind the other night." And I look at him and I go, "Skytram." And he goes, "Fuck yeah, dude, fuck yeah." And it's like, I just started realizing I'm going to be associated with that scene for the rest of my life.
If you're going to be associated with anything, I think it should be with the Skytram.
I think it should be.
I think it's a brilliant association.
I mean, you really need to, you must. Did
you write that scene?
Stephen Glickman, myself, and Matt Walker. We had a little comedy. Do you know Matt Walker?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, funny guy. And Steven's hysterical. We had a little comedy roundtable. We before we shoot the film, we just go through and see how we can make things funnier. So we were sort of figuring out how to, what can we do to sort of enhance that? And so Steven started just throwing out some stuff about Skytramming and some other shit.
For those who have not seen the movie, I don't want to give anything away. Just go get Breaking Wind.
Yeah.
Enjoy the movie for the hilarity throughout, but just keep a lookout for the Skytram scene.
That's right.
And
yes.
But that
very memorable.
Your performance did it justice because it was you took it to the next level. It was great. I couldn't stop. I mean, we were shooting Flip scene in the house. And you were in the kitchen most of the time, for the most part. And we had Video Village, which is where you can watch what's being shot on screen in the opposite side of the house in the living room. And I couldn't stop laughing. I mean, watching you do that, it was crazy. It was
your ability to go from being, I mean, so into your nostalgia of what you're telling your daughter to going into your concern for her was brilliant, babe. I do have to say,
It was genius.
I was going to say the...
If this was a TV show, we'd probably show the clip right now.
We would.
Exactly.
Right? Can we
we
show
would.
It anyway?
One day.
Can we show it?
One day the podcast.
We could put it on the TV and watch it right now.
Just talk about it.
And we'll
just
do a commentary.
That was funny.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, I listened to the commentary, too,
throughout
the movie. Yeah.
How is it for that scene?
For that scene? Yeah. You know what's great is, like, because you guys are all talking, you're talking, and then you see that shot of Heather.
Right.
Walking into the kitchen, and you and Heather both go, "Oh shit!" Just shut up and watch.
Yeah, because you can't really talk over it.
It's just like we can't even prepare you for what you're about to say.
And I loved your Northwestern accent. You're like Bill.
Well, that's what the guy was doing in the movie. Because I actually watched all three movies before we went there.
And you enjoyed it, didn't you? You kind of liked them, a little bit. Yeah.
He had tissues
so
next to him the whole time.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay. He was totally other reason.
That was,
the tissues.
That
he was playing
that
with
was
his big
red
cat
tube,
bush.
That was red tube. But
I was going to say, but what was great, and this applies to Breaking Wind and the new film, is that you as a director are so fucking cool by trusting your actors to kind of improvise a little bit. And if it's something you don't like, you tell us and you say, oh, pull it back or blah, blah, blah. And I remember in the kitchen scene when I'm explaining to Bella the facts of life, and I take out some my some visual
diagrams.
Aids. This wasn't in the script, but I threw
that was brilliant.
That whole thing,
yeah, it was brilliant.
And I remember I did that just and I don't want to give it away because if you haven't seen it, but in the Skytram scene, there's a visual aid, and you'll see I did something toward the visual aid.
Right.
And I remember when I first did that, I kind of did that as a joke, and I cannot believe you actually kept that in.
Oh my God. It was freaking hysterical. Are you kidding? I mean, there was a series of, you know, you did a couple things to the visual aids, like two or three things.
The other good thing
was it gets a huge laugh, like, every time, so it's like it was funny, right? You know.
But see, I guess for me it was like I didn't realize there were people as fucked up as me out there with the same sixth sense of humor.
Yeah.
So
plenty,
that's,
so you see that? Plenty. Apparently,
we've connected on that. So
we've connected on a lot of
that's right. Well,
you also kept in something that he ad-libbed that is his absolute favorite thing in the world to do. Some people like to whistle.
Oh.
Some people like you know, play with their thumbs or something. You want to demonstrate? He does farts.
Yes, that was great.
He's been doing hand farts every day
for years.
Did you do the hand farts for the hand jive? Was that something that you or
you want to know the hand fart? I didn't. I've been trying to figure out how to do that literally for 20 years. At the age of 32, I figured out how to do it.
Oh, good. Okay, see,
it's like 20 years too late. If
he
I had that
give
when
up.
I was in school,
right,
I would have been a fucking superhero.
No, it just shows you.
You used
determination.
It. You used it, and it worked out beautifully.
Yeah, I thought like it'd be fun for the timing kind of thing.
I do have to say, I love how deadpan the fellow actors then to follow that moment. They were like brilliantly deadpan. They're like, yeah, this is totally normal to our life.
Oh, the two models that came out.
Yeah, I don't want to give anything away either. But
the only thing
hilarious.
And they were brother and sister. And I'm kidding.
Love it. It looked real. It looked like West Virginian.
Yes. Well, that's what we're going for. That was it.
I was hoping the one thing I was hoping to see, and it's just when toward the end when I did those ad libs as far as like you know, her is big, and I had all those little James Franco one. I was so hoping.
I know. It was very funny when you said it on set, but then when we saw it, it just wasn't funny. No, it was funny. We just sometimes it's like you just for the purpose of the dynamic of the scene when you cut it together. There's sometimes that some things that you think, oh my God, this could be fucking awesome. This could be great. Just don't work. Mm. And then there are things that.
Is that a tough decision as a director to make? In the end, you're the one pretty much holding the final
balls.
Say.
Yeah.
Well, the balls of the film. Yeah, the
right.
final say. And like, you know, you get pressure from other people or your own like.
You know what? You get a lot of times you get your own cut, so you can put whatever in what you want in. If you've got a studio or a production company that has final cut, then that can be frustrating because then. A lot of times.
Did you have final cut on that, or did the studio?
I did.
Oh, you did?
I did. Okay. Yes. For the most, I had a lot of freedom on that film, which is nice. There was a lot of things that I was able to do. That was quite the performance throughout, man.
But again, and that's what led us to, led you to this next project that we did together.
Right.
Which I will admit, I was very excited and nervous about doing, just because God bless you, cast me as the lead in it.
Yes.
I guess we can't say too much about it, but it's another spoof film.
Correct.
That is spoofing a genre
we're spoofing a spoof.
Spoofing a spoof?
Okay, maybe not. But we are
like, wait, what kind of film did I fucking make?
Yes, no, it's a spoof, but we'll sort of unleash what that is later on, just because we're not supposed to say anything right now. But anyone cares. But at the end of the day, your performance was great in Breaking Wind. And when I wrote this new comedy, I had you in mind. When writing it, yes.
That is so
and during masturbation breaks. So it really helped out.
Well,
that bush.
Yeah.
You gotta keep
rocking
that
thing.
Honey,
how many times have I called his name out in bed?
Oh, Jesus. This week?
This week alone, yeah.
Oh, God. At least 25.
Yeah. You know how many times we've had sex?
3.
26.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes.
One time I got the call out for my own name. Yeah, just once.
You got the shout out.
It's because I was doing my impression of you.
Okay. It was.
Which you do a great one.
Thanks.
Seriously. That's really
do your Craig Moss impression.
I gotta get a hat.
Don't put it on the spot. Don't put it on the spot.
Try that flip. Try that with more balls in your mouth. That's my impression.
Oh, that
of you.
Is nice.
Try that.
Wow.
That's pretty dead on, huh?
Woo! That is fantastic.
That's what I say to
Craig
him
Moss.
In bed.
Say it translates.
More balls in your mouth,
that's
babe.
That's right. It translates.
Yeah, so this new film, dude, it was so much fun to work on. I know that I said this when they kind of did interviews, but I'm like, it felt like camp. It really did. It was such a family dynamic there, and everybody was so fucking good. You know.
Yeah.
I hope, because I mean I haven't seen any of this, sure. aside from a couple of things I went to do in post. I haven't seen like the film in its entirety, but. I hope that it comes across how special it felt comes across on screen is how like special it could be.
Yeah, no, it was great. We had a great group from crew to cast, and just everybody was so amazing, like just so professional. And you know, and again, the cast that we got was, including yourself, was just terrific. Ooh. That they carried the comedy, and there's a lot of funny moments, and I'm very, very happy with it. I mean, it's very funny, and I think you'll be pleased.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Only did you guys put together a good group of actors, but they like you guys all click very well naturally. So it's not even like you have to pretend to click well; they already do.
Yeah.
Like he still's remade friends with most of his intermediate main cast members.
I still talk to.
You're not supposed to do that.
I'm not.
Oh,
no, you can't do that.
Oh,
you got. You cannot,
we can edit that out. I didn't say that.
No, you can't. You can't talk to people after.
Really? Like a jury?
You're talking to people?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I was talking to.
What?
What?
Too soon.
talked to Wolf. Wolf.
me and Frank. Frank from Breaking Wind. That's the only.
You're allowed at least.
We go antiquing.
No, you do, oh, he's a great.
And
actor.
He
focus,
eats.
Focus, everybody. I need you to
he's
focus.
I saw Rudy today.
Did you see Rudy?
Yes, he was at the color correction for the film.
Cool.
He was focusing.
He was focusing.
He was woof.
I think you need Rudy, the DP on the film. That's director of photography, not Dumble Penetration.
He does that though. He does. He does. Yeah, which people don't know.
Does he keep it in focus? Does
he
focus?
Yeah,
while you focus.
Focus.
Please, I need you to focus while you focus. Yeah,
that's right.
Focus on the.
No, everybody on this set was just so much fun, man. And the I know you can't talk too much about
it. Well, I'm just curious. Who do you keep in touch with? Who is it?
Kat.
Oh yeah.
Kat Fiore.
Kat's good people.
Who played my can I? She played. I played opposite her in the film.
Sure.
We were the male and female leads of it. And Olivia Alexander,
oh sure,
who also plays one
she's
of the lead
fantastic,
actors.
Fantastic, yep.
And of course, there's some comedians in there in the film that I already knew and friends with: Ben Morrison, Jen Kober, Danny Woodburn, and I have become quite friendly.
Danny's great. Is Danny great?
Oh my! If for those who don't know Danny by name, you know him if you've seen him. He's probably best known for playing Kramer's little friend, little person friend on Seinfeld.
Do you know, what was his name on that show?
Mickey.
Okay.
Mickey, and he's also like he's a little person. Hilarious character actor, Death to Smoochie, Badass.
He was just in the, was it the...
Mirror Mirror.
Uh-huh.
So Danny, and then the great thing is, like, I was kind of nervous, because I know who Danny was forever.
Right.
And I remember when I introduced myself, it was in a makeup trailer, so I said, hello, I'm Flip, I'm going to be working.
Right.
Just very, very excited and thrilled to be working. He's like, oh, thanks, man. And then he gets up. We're doing our scene together, and I don't want to give it away, but Danny has a very funny role in it. And then just he and I started just kind of doing Jerry Lewis to each other.
That's right.
And I realized he is not only is he a comedian in and of itself, he has such like this great old school comedy kind of mentality about him, vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just we clicked like that.
Yeah, you guys, I noticed that. He's great. He's such a funny guy, and he's so great, and he's such a. He's just so like professional. He's been doing this for so long, and he just gets everything. But you guys are good together.
You should see them.
You guys should go on the road.
You should see how good they get together.
Yeah, I don't want to brag or anything, but me, Danny, and Allison had a little 2.5-some.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Yeah. We had a 2.5-some.
Wow. Is there footage of that?
He slipped me a Mickey.
Oh, wow, look at that.
No?
You got to know when the bit's over, honey.
I'm sorry, I was laughing.
I know. No, I was going to say, because you actually got some not only the cast that I was a part of, as far as,
right.
I mean, I hate to put myself in this.
Please,
in this,
just do it. Just do it.
Like a lesser known name performer.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do it.
Well, I am. Okay. I really am. You know, and
not
that,
in
that,
my
that,
eyes, Flip Schultz or
Craig,
Smith. Is
Craig.
It Smith? Okay, not in my eyes.
Flip Smith.
Listen, Craig Mass.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes.
No, I know where I am on the echelon. Hopefully, you know, within time, I will
sure.
be up to the.
Absolutely.
But like you've got,
that's right.
I will
see that
a very very well known TV actor who's on a brilliant sitcom for years to
yep.
play a surprise role in this.
Sure.
And I think you told me once that actor in particular actually you had to audition for you, or you had to at least see footage of him or something.
Oh. You know what? It was sort of an age-appropriate thing, and I hadn't seen him in some time, so I didn't know. Because the character needed to be like 50-something at one point, and then he needed to be 60-something, because we jump in time a bit.
Okay.
And so I didn't know how he looked. I knew he's a great actor, and he was really funny. I had to confirm the fact that he could play this and look this part.
Look the part.
Yeah.
I think he pulled it off. Like I was there
great.
when the last shot of the film,
right.
Where he comes in,
right,
but
right,
I saw pictures
right.
of him in the flashback scenes
right.
with the
yeah,
whole thing,
yeah,
and
yeah,
he
yeah.
looked fucking great.
Yeah, he's great.
And he did some daring stuff too, didn't he?
He did. Oh, he was phenomenal. He didn't care. He just committed and did his thing, and he was so, he was very funny. Funny guy. So we love Donnie Most.
What?
Donnie
Most.
Said that? Said that?
Donnie Most.
Do you ever see that Family Guy?
No, my God.
It's the fucking...
Does he play Potsy Weber?
No, he was Ralph Mouth.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking of Anson Williams.
Anson Williams.
I'm sorry.
Look
I'm
at
getting
you.
He was a big-time director, Anson Williams, in the TV world. Yeah, in the TV world.
Oh, nice.
Hey.
Anson, yeah. No,
but an episode of Family Guy, you know Brigadoon?
Yes.
You know that, like... That kind of like overture Brigadoon.
Yes, yes.
They do it with Donnie Moe, and he's just like he rises out of the
very
mist
very slowly,
and then comes back.
He says one thing and then lowers himself back down.
It's fucking hilarious. But no, it's not Donnie Moe's Tuesday. Although that would have been awesome.
We tried. Did you really? No.
Oh my God,
we did.
That would have been the most.
It would have been, wouldn't it? The mostest. But it, yeah, no.
No, that. But it. I'm so excited to see the final thing.
Yeah.
Do you get that? Like, because I got to imagine, like, I know for me, like, when I'm say editing my own videos or whatever,
sure.
and I get kind of sick of seeing the same footage. I'm like, I don't have an opinion anymore about this. I've been
right.
looking at too much.
Right.
Do you get to that point when you're in these stages of it, of this post?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, like, you're right. You get so involved in it, you don't know if something's funny or it's not funny. You kind of loses sort of the context of the humor. You don't. And sometimes if you get too involved, sometimes you tend to nitpick and you can
mm-hmm.
screw
yeah,
things up
totally.
And everything. It's like pulling the thread and everything unravels. But so you do have to have like a little audience or screening so you get in, which we have not had. But I had a 19-year-old buddy of mine's nephew who goes to UCLA, who is in the...
Was he the one that was on set?
Yes.
Yes,
yeah,
I remember
yeah,
him.
Yeah. His name's Ryan. He came to... we had a sound effects playback, and he was there and was laughing at some spots. So it confirmed... It's just nice to know that at least he found it funny.
Yeah,
you know, doesn't matter if anybody else is. No, but just that demographic. You want
yeah,
to know that like he's 19 years old. You want to know that
college.
You know. And then we had Steven Glickman's mom came in, who's like in her 60s,
yeah,
who came in during the mix and was laughing at some stuff too. So we've got covering 19 to 65 or so. And
were they laughing at the same thing? Or
yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's good to know.
Yeah, but. But she was, you know, extremely high. But it didn't matter. I'm kidding.
She, again, I don't want to give anything away.
Please.
But she was involved in the film, too.
Yes.
And let's just say she and I had some very intimate moments.
Yes.
Very
yes.
sweet woman, though.
Yeah, absolutely. She's great.
So anyway.
Oh, I know what she did. Did she do what I think that she did, having to do with...
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. we're gonna just. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
I'm telling you, when I went to see him do the ADR, God, it. from watching just a few scenes that I was there live to see, hilarious. And then you see them done over and over again. So you kind of, like you said, once you see it over and over again, it you're like, okay, I laughed the first three times I saw it, and now it's going to taper off. I hadn't been prepared for the opening scene. You told me what you were going to be looking like in the opening scene.
Oh, right.
But that
whole
thing was so funny. The whole opening was so funny. I just cannot wait to see what the whole rest of it has to offer.
Thank you. Thank you. No, it was, I think it's funny. I think it moves, the pace is there and you know, the comedy's there, I think. I think it might work, my friend. I think you might have something.
You know what? I know it will work.
Yes. There's the confidence I like to hear.
Putting those confident
vibes out
there. That's
right. I like that.
Has your, and just to get back to something we talked about at the beginning, has your wife seen any of it?
She did. I like to show my wife, I show her a rough cut when I'm happy enough or I feel the most comfortable with the rough cut to have her take a look at it. So she saw it a little while back, but she hasn't seen it since. So it's a lot of stuff that's happened since then.
And
so.
you use your wife.
That's
the whole question there.
Right.
Pretty much every film you've done, you've put your wife and her twin sister in.
Yes, although I did not put my sister-in-law in Badass, just my wife.
Oh, just okay.
Yes.
And you were a bus driver in Badass.
I was a bus driver. Yeah. Generous bus driver.
A very generous.
I gave up my bus to Danny. I gave my bus. I said, you can use my bus. Did you see the movie? You haven't seen the movie?
I haven't seen the movie.
Okay, well, that's why you looked at me blankly.
Yeah,
what the
I'm sorry.
Am I talking about?
I just know you were a bus driver.
That was
your cameo.
Right, I was Allison Sott, though. I was a bus driver who, Danny, there's a big scene going into the third act where Danny is chasing down Charles Dutton, who plays the antagonist in the film.
Okay.
Oh my God, is that Rock?
Yes.
Oh wow.
Yes, Rock.
That's
not
so awesome.
Not the Rock. Rock.
No, I totally know.
Okay, good.
1994.
Yes, he had his
sitcoms.
Own TV show. Mm-hmm. He's amazing. He's great. And so, Danny Rock steals a bus from this bus depot, and then Danny. I'm a bus driver coming out to get on my bus, and he asks for the bus as opposed to stealing it because he's a good guy. And I give it to him because I recognized him from the YouTube video, and I let him have the bus. And then they go on their way, and there's a chase ensues.
Do you make a director cameo in every movie? Because I noticed you also did it in Breaking Wind.
I do. I love myself. So I like to just put myself in everything.
I don't remember you being in the new one, though, unless it's something that I wasn't involved in.
I'm in it.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And I got paid handsomely.
What?
Yes.
Who do you know?
Well.
Who are you? I see.
Yeah.
Woof.
Right.
He's got a tongue. Rudy.
Everybody at home, I need you to understand that they are cupping the air and tickling with their hands.
Tickling air balls.
Exactly.
The microphone's here, too.
Yeah, you go.
You gotta use the mic. There you go. Nice.
Exactly.
I was.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. Fuck me. I want to see how you threw yourself in there.
My God.
My God, indeed. Yes. You are my God.
Thank you.
And when do any idea when the film is going to be released to like give people a little teaser for it? Because there's nothing online about it.
Yeah, it's not. It's again. It's very. Everyone's keeping it close to the vest and hush hush. And
is there a reason for that? Is that a studio thing or is that your call?
Yeah, there's a combination of reasons why.
If you can't get into it,
I feel like the Minister of Communications for the old Soviet Union. But I think
please, comrade, tell me more.
Right, but there's just a few reasons why. I hate doing this, but it's just the way it is for it right now. But I think.
But there will be stuff released eventually.
There'll be. Of course, there's gonna be. Okay. Just not at this point, but.
But there'll be like leading up to the whenever it opens.
There'll be marketing and advertising.
Excellent.
And all that other stuff.
I know because people are asking me all the time, like when can we see it?
And
like I don't know.
I know.
I'll let you know when I know
exactly.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
No.
This is about you, man. Whatever you want to say.
I just was gonna say I really enjoy your apartment. I really think this is fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah.
You guys keep a nice. You keep a nice home.
We try.
Yeah.
And are you now before we do the all round? There's one thing we got to do before we wrap up.
Yes.
But before we get to that, are you working on anything else like in the upcoming? Like, are you already working on a new film after this?
Yeah, I'm. There's a couple things that I can't talk about. No, there's a couple things that You know,
you don't have to give details.
No, I'm not giving details, but it's like there are things.
Good.
But until you're there on set and you're actually shooting, they're not real.
They're not real.
And so, you know, so we'll see. I mean, there's a couple things, and once that sort of, once we're on set and we're shooting the film, then I could say yes. And of course, I want to use you. So, but you, this time you're gonna be fully nude.
Oh, hey.
I'll do it.
Is that a problem?
Not at all.
Hey. Allison,
no?
Not at all.
I'll shave his bush for you.
Oh, that is perfect.
Yeah, I think Allison, I mentioned this to you before, but Allison came up with the analogy. She had said, I am your Johnny Depp to your Tim Burton.
Oh, really? Oh, that's nice.
It, well, yeah. I mean, it's a very sweet combo you guys got going on here.
Or Marty Feldman to Mel Brooks.
I like that one even better.
Babe, can you do your best Igor impression?
Igor, honey. It's Igor.
Excuse me, Igor.
Igor. There you go.
All right, do you have the same? Do you and your wife? I mean, I assume that she has a dirty sense of humor as well.
Oh,
maybe
she's so filthy.
Oh, I love it.
Just and out of control.
Really,
I love it.
No, she is. she kind of.
I was like, we're gonna have to go hang out.
No, she does not. She does not. She gets it. You know, but there'll be times where she will get annoyed with with where I take things and with the films. I can't believe they're for 12-year-olds. What do you do? Are you ever going to do a movie that's, you know, that's how you get sort of that. And my wife is a Jewish grandmother, just so you know.
Oh.
Why do you have to?
Put on your sweater and don't put period blood on a tree.
That's right, exactly. She'll just, you know. But she gets the comedy and she's got a good sense of humor. And
I was going to say, it's good to have a, like, because I know Allison and I, we perform together sometimes when we go on the road.
Yes.
And it's good to have somebody who understands what you do and can also participate sometimes in what you do. And going back to the beginning of this, when I was saying you really lucked out way out of your league, your wife was a Doublemint twin.
Yes. Yeah.
Doublemint? The original Doublemint
twins? No, from 1968? Yes.
She looks amazing.
That was the one.
No, of course, she is a Jewish grandmother. That's
why
she acts that way. Chew your gum.
That's
right. But she's had a lot of fabulous work done. She looks amazing.
Well, that's what Botox and that Ritalin or whatever the hell they put in, the retinol. and she takes Ritalin. But I think... she and her twin sister, identical twin sister, were the Doublemint twins a few years back. And and then they were on recurring characters on an MTV series for a while. Then they were in a great Eddie Murphy movie called Pluto Nash.
Oh, hey.
Was that something?
Pluto Nash.
Yeah, Pluto Nash with Jay Moore. He was
one
in
of
that.
The highest grossing films ever.
Yeah, and then there was a movie they were in called Slackers, and with
I've heard of that.
Jason Schwartzman and Jason Segel actually was in that film too years ago, and then they were in the Harold Ramis movie called Bedazzled.
With Brendan Fraser and Elizabeth Hurley.
Yes.
As the devil?
Which was based on a movie with Dudley Moore and his old partner, the English guy. Mowage is what from Princess Bride.
Peter, right.
Inconceivable
Bilk?
Guy?
No, Wallace Shawn.
He was the priest during the wedding.
Peter
Mowage.
Falk?
Oh, right,
no,
right,
not
right,
Peter
right.
Falk.
Peter Falk. That was Columbo.
I know.
Yeah, but Peter Falk was in Princess Bride. He was in the opening with Fred Savage.
He was a grandfather.
That's right.
All right,
you're not too far off.
No, but his name was Peter. I could see it in the credits. It's Peter. It's a short last name.
Well, whatever. He was in the original Bizzaddle. It's okay,
Peter,
honey.
Peter,
it's okay.
I'm going to find
Peter. Peter Vagina.
Peter Vagina.
Isn't that him? That's a short.
Peter Pumpkin Eater was his full name.
Right.
Uh-huh. But no, your wife, incredibly beautiful.
Thank you.
And how the fuck did you manage that? This is totally off the subject of showbiz.
I know. I got lucky. And look, if you have a sense of humor, as you know, you know what I mean? Come on. You and I mean,
Peter Cook. Sorry.
Peter Cook.
I'm sorry. Peter Cook.
Peter Cook. Thank God you looked that up, honey.
They were the comedy team of Cook and Moore.
Cook and Moore.
Yeah.
Cook and Moore.
Cook and Moore.
Cook and Moore what? What were they cooking more of? Ooh. I'm sorry.
I'm going to turn your mic off just for a little while. But that's right. No, that's very, very cool. Your children are beautiful too.
Thank you. They're
in the film as well, aren't they?
They are in the movie, and actually my daughter, Olivia, was cast in a Fox pilot that got picked up this fall
Congratulations.
Called Ben and Kate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's not in the commercial. Is that her?
I don't think so.
Like the little girl, the niece of Kate or something? Or Ben?
She plays Kate as a little girl. They have flashbacks to her. She's going to be, though, she's coming out. Actually, they're coming. My family's in Vancouver. They're coming back tomorrow. She's going to be in the opening credits for the show, and then she's in another episode of the show. So it's very cool.
How old is your daughter?
She's 8.
Oh,
and then my 5-year-old Mackenzie is, she's been in a bunch of commercials, and then, yes, I put them in the film.
And they were both, one of the funnier scenes in Breaking Wind was the vault, when they...
Oh, yeah,
the
Volterra.
But it's a little spoiler, the Volterra come out, and, you know, in the movie, they're young-looking anyway. So you took that to the extreme.
Yeah, well, I mean, Dakota Fanning plays the head of the Volterra.
Right.
So my daughter has a similar look to that, so I thought it would be fun just to make them.
But
so your daughter is the one that plays the Dakota Fanning character in Breaking Away.
Yeah.
Wow, I got to look at that. It was so
funny. And then my other daughter is in that too, Mackenzie, who plays the younger little girl, and then my nephew plays a little boy, and then my best friend's son plays the 12-year-old.
If you're friends with me, I'll put
you in my film. Is how it works. That's how I get friends and how I keep family.
That's how it
works.
You should write a book. How to keep friends. Put them in a movie. Chapter 1. Exactly. Chapter 2. Thanks for buying my book.
That's right.
but it was just like that scene was just so funny because there are these little kids and they're just speaking so eloquently with all these like above words and everything, and they're just being adorable throughout it.
Yeah, they're so cute.
It was such a fun movie to not only see but to be part of, and this new one too. I'm very excited.
I'm excited, and of course, very happy and proud that you were in it, my friend.
I am too. I really am. I sincerely, and I'm not trying to be silly or kiss ass or anything, but I'm sincerely thankful and grateful for you doing that.
Of course,
and I think I could safely say that we've become friends. And
I don't know about that, but I think that at the end. But at the no, nice. I'm kidding. No, Flip, absolutely. You're I consider you a dear friend now. You're a great guy.
As are you.
And besides that, you're extremely handsome. And that, and I'm only friends with people that are handsome. I just want you to know that.
Glickman.
Well, Glickman has other talents, and people don't really know
that
about
it. You
know
what I mean? That is true. That is true.
Yeah, exactly. But no, man, I appreciate that.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, and before we wrap up, you know, I'm gonna do this the same way I did the last. Excuse me. Hi, had someone in my throat.
It's okay. Must have been someone I ate. Get it out. Get it out. All right.
Quick little plugs. Of course, guys, you can always check me out at flipisfunny.com. Facebook.com/FlipSchultz2, because the first page was filled up with so many friends. Thank you guys so much. Also, Twitter at Flip Schultz, YouTube Flip Schultz, whatsfordinnerpodcast.com. If anybody is around, when is this airing? Okay, that'll already have happened. If anybody is around, I'll be headlining Irvine on August 16th, along with Allison will be there, Skippy Green. It's going to be an overall show. Yes. Wow.
Be a threesome.
A big threesome. And August 25th, Skippy Green, along with Clownvis Presley and Bunny Love, will be doing the first ever Cracked Pack show in San Diego at the Till 2 Club. And then I will be at the Vegas Improv at Harrah's the last week of August, going into the first week of September. I think that's the 25th to the 2nd, something like that. Always check out my website for dates and stuff. Allison, of course, dirtyguitargirl.com, Facebook.com/AllisonWeber.
Nope, Allison Comedy.
Sorry, Allison
and it's
Comedy.
Spelt All Is On Comedy.
All Is On Comedy. Craig, you have a website or anything, Facebook?
I have nothing.
Nothing.
I have nothing, and that's okay.
That's fine. You know, actually, I tried looking
look up his
online.
Movies.
You can't look me up online, but it's okay.
You can look him up on IMDb.
Look up his fabulous movies.
Feel free to do
that. Yes, and definitely, guys, check out, go on Amazon,
Saving
go on
Ryan's
iTunes.
Privates?
Is that available?
I don't know, but you can definitely check out Badass, which is on, I think, Best Buy, Target. You can get it off if you have any of your providers like, AT&T. What is that?
UVerse.
DirecTV, I think it's on.
Okay.
I think it's on
Netflix.
Netflix, thank you.
Hey.
iTunes.
And then what's the Warner Communication? The
Time Warner.
Cable? Thank you.
Look at that.
I have no idea. I'll just throw it out. No, but in all honesty, you can get it. You can rent or see it. any of those places.
And that's you can do that for Badass, 41-year-old Virgin, or Breaking Wind.
Breaking Wind, absolutely.
All three,
of course. Yes.
And
yes.
Keep
I don't get residuals
for
Breaking Wind, but Craig does, and we want to.
So watch it a lot.
You don't?
Over and over.
Yeah, you do.
Do I?
You certainly do.
Really?
It's SAG, my friend. You will get stuff.
But
from
we could talk about this off the air. I think I got lower end.
It doesn't, but it's okay. There's still, it should be. We'll discuss it.
Let's discuss that. Hey, there's a good thing. I might get more money.
the Jew is happy.
That's right.
And to end the show, Craig,
yes.
This is a little segment
okay.
called The Skippy Green Show.
Oh, sweet.
It's The Skippy Green Show.
Craig, how are you?
Oh, Skippy. Wow, finally good to meet you. I've never met you.
I know a lot about you. Let me tell you, Craig Gass is one of my favorite people in the world. Yeah. So it's finally great to meet
Craig Moss, but it's okay, don't worry. It's
fine. Who?
Moss.
Well, I'm sure you're a nice guy, too.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
So here's what you got to do. You got to answer this question
okay.
in 10 words exactly. Okay. Not 11.
Right.
Not 9.
Right.
10 words exactly. You
okay.
ready?
Yep.
Think of a good one.
So 10 words is what you're saying.
10 words exactly.
10 words, okay.
When was the first time you fucked a girl in the back of your car, and what kind of car was it?
When you say car, do you mean RV? Is that what you...
You can't answer a question with another question.
Right,
aren't
fine.
You a writer?
I'm sorry. All right, go ahead. Ask. Go ahead.
When was the first time...
Do it over.
Here we go.
Right, okay.
Take
edit
two.
That, edit that out.
Take. Oh, no, that's in.
What?
That's in.
No.
You're going to look like a douche.
All right, thanks, buddy. Thanks, Skippy.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, appreciate it.
When was the first time you fucked a girl in your car, and what kind of car was it?
September 22nd, 1975,
mm-mm.
a Buick LeSabre.
Six.
And it felt really good.
We have 11, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God, I missed it by one.
It felt really.
It felt really.
It felt really.
And we'll just leave it at that. It felt very really.
It was really.
And I got to tell you, this felt really good. I'll give it back to Flip. This felt really good.
Yeah. By the way, that guy is a fucking asshole.
He is a
dick. I think that because Craig is so awesome, Skippy should come back and give him a second question. And I think the second question...
Hey, you know what? I think you should shut the fuck up.
Oh, Skippy, you're
that?
So cute.
How about that? And this is thanks perfect timing back. Anyway. No, Craig, thank
yes.
you again, man,
thank
for appearing on this.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. Appreciate it, guys.
It's okay, I'll pee it on your couch. Is that okay?
Ah, you're excited.
Please do.
All right, yeah, it's a cat.